Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz with you for the next 2 hours, getting ready for week number six in the NFL. Thursday Night Football is behind us. We'll talk a bit about that. And maybe we'll talk a little baseball as the 2 hours go by. George, how are you on this Saturday morning?
Well, let's see, Dan. I'm a Yankee fan. That didn't go well. I'm a Cowboy fan. That didn't go well. And I reffed top five hockey games last night. That actually went okay. So it's been an interesting week.
Five. Did ice or a roller?
Roller. Okay. You almost always roller. So it went well, though. Everybody was, it was a quiet night. Unusual.
Right. It is funny, having played in those kind of leagues, we gave the refs hell. So I can't imagine what your nights are like. So good to hear it was a somewhat calm one on your front there. All right, let's talk some New York Football Giants. You said you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. You are intimately aware of the NFC East. The Eagles picking up a big win there, obviously, back on Thursday night. Carson Wentz, one, making a throw into the end zone to Alshon Jeffery that many analysts were surprised by, just saying, how did he make this throw across his body, dropped it into a bread box, basically, over a defender in front of another one. A great throw on that pass, seemingly back from that knee injury, or at least making his way and making his influence known. I want to hear from you, George, on the Giants. This is a team that obviously is going nowhere fast at this point when it comes to the NFC East, when it comes to playoff contention, but there are many pieces here that are more than fantasy relevant. Obviously, Evan Engram's been out, but as far as tight ends go, he's going to be in the mix each and every week. You have Odell Beckham with whatever's going on and the speaking out and what some describe as tantrums on the sidelines. And then you have Saquon Barkley, who was a video game out there against the Giants, against the Eagles. All this is to say, though, when you have, as I'm trademarking, the walking corpse that is Eli Manning under center, can you trust anyone but Saquon Barkley on this team? Can you really feel good? Obviously, you've drafted Beckham in the first, second, or third, you know, whatever draft you're in. You're playing them because you don't have much else to go to. But how do you feel about owning any of these skill position players on the New York Giants right now?
Well, Barkley, you're thrilled, right? I know I've got him in one league, and I'm thrilled. Hey, it's my only healthy running back, so as long as he breathes, I'm happy. keep losing running backs in that league like it's candy, man. They keep leaving one week at the other, so it's frustrating there. But that's for most of us. Most of us are having running back problems. But Barkley's great. You're probably going to get back Engram next week, I would assume. He was close this week, and they gave him the extra 10 days off. He'll be back. And now, you know, Beckham. You know, we're going to complain about Beckham. I get it. But he does have three 100-yard games this year. You know, he won 11 week 1, 109 week 3, and he had 131 week 5. So he's an odd week guy. You know, if you have Beckham and Cooper, you got a great receiver because you can start Cooper during the even weeks. But so I guess you're disappointed in Beckham? Sure. Is he giving you the value you wanted for a probable first-round pick? He went in the top of second rounds in some leagues as well. He was falling during draft time. I guess people were worried about this. But you're still starting him. Everybody else is pretty much dead. You know, Shepard, okay, flex guy, you could start him at times. I think, you know, it's funny. An article came out, I believe it will, I'm not sure where it was, so I'm not going to say. I think it might have been Newsday, but I'm not positive. That with the Giants, if you don't, if that's the hierarchy. If you don't believe in Eli, you're done. You were let go. You know, if you believed in him, you stayed. So this is strange. Because I railed against the Giants, Dan, before you and I got together. When the Giants didn't take a quarterback
with a
second overall pick, I railed against it. You know, but it's funny. I railed, my thinking about, my reasoning for railing against it was this. In today's NFL, especially this year, where it looks like we're going to have 1,000 more points scored than in past year, about a 12% increase. It's all about the quarterback. All the rules are designed to throw the ball. You cannot pass on a possible franchise quarterback. And Sam Darnold. The only real way I think Gettleman could have done that is if he truly believed that Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Lamar Jackson, if that they none of them was a franchise quarterback. Then I didn't really have an issue with it. Fine. But assuming that's not the case, I didn't think he could do it. But my reasoning for that was because the Giants were good enough to win. With Eli, they'd win 6-7, maybe even 8 games, and wouldn't be in position
sure.
to get the franchise quarterback next year. Now I'm not really a big college guy. I don't know how strong the quarterback draft is next year, but now they're 1-5, and I'm looking at their schedule here. Actually, I did this the other night too. They play Washington twice. I think they can beat Washington once. They play Dallas again at Giant at MetLife. I think they can beat Dallas. So that's 2 more wins. You got a game versus Tampa. It's possible they could beat Tampa. Tampa's not a good team. And then I keep looking. Indianapolis, okay. You might be able to beat Indianapolis. It's in Indy, so a tougher game. Tennessee is sort of a 50-50 game there. Titans aren't a great team. And that's it. You know, there's a game against San Fran there as well. I guess that could be a win. You know, I don't think it'll beat Atlanta next week. That's 1-6.
No.
You know, so then you got that. So your upside is probably 6 or 7 upside. And all those games I said you could win, you're not going to win them all. You know, so they may end up being a 4-5 win team again. You know, where they went 3 last year. So maybe they will be in position to win that, and they will get the best of both worlds. They just had to eat it this year. So maybe it will work out for them.
It's crazy. I appreciate that point of view that, listen, I was against taking Barkley at 2. I've gotten into stupid Twitter arguments over the past couple of days about it as well, mainly because the Giants had so many holes to fill. And the words coming out of the Giants camp was, we're trying to, you know, use Eli's window here to be competitive. So taking Barkley to prop up Eli Manning was just a really bad way to go about building a football team. Now, your point, though, I think is even more intriguing, that it wasn't just to win now. It was just the thought that taking this running back may have still been, hey, we can get a quarterback later, but they would have been too good. Like, too good to really tank and get into the top 10 and into the top 5 to have access to a quarterback that they might want. I think that's a great point. Now they've shown themselves to be even worse than we thought. Eli's just been terrible. The offensive line's been okay. Obviously, when you have a running back doing what Barkley does, you can find some positives on the offensive line. Barkley's also doing things that are just pretty crazy when it comes to running back. There have been mentions of Barry Sanders. I don't know if I'm going that far quite yet, but hey, Barry Sanders played on a really bad football team and was really good at the running back spot, so I get that connection there. But I wonder, are we going to see, you know, do we see Kyle Uletta soon? Do we see one of these backup quarterbacks for the Giants, and do we go into full tank mode for the Giants? And does the Beckhams and the Sterling Shepherds and the Evan Ingrams of the world fall even further back in production because we go to a rookie or a younger quarterback and Eli is benched and let known that he is not the quarterback for this team moving forward? Lots of intrigue there. Any thoughts on the Eagles side of the ball? It seemed like a pretty standard Philadelphia game. You had Carson Wentz things again, getting out of the pocket, throwing on the move. You had only 278 yards throwing, mainly because he didn't have to do much more. Nelson Aguilar with a couple of big catches. Alshon Jeffrey was busy. Zach Ertz continues to be tight end, you know, top three pretty easily with Kelce and Rob Gronkowski there. And then the running backs. You had Smallwood and Clement getting it done enough for the Eagles. Any takeaways here, or is this just sort of standard week over week what you expect from Philadelphia?
Well, they're getting better, right? I mean, I think it's fair to say that Carson Wentz is still working out some kinks, some rust,
yep,
whatever you want to call it there. But they're getting, they look good against the Giants. They attacked. That offense finally looked like it was humming, like Wentz knew where he was going. He wasn't afraid to throw the ball with Jeffrey, even if Jeffrey was kind of covered. He threw him open sometimes. So I was, I guess fantasy-wise, if you had these players, you were happy to see what they did. You're probably still wondering, Nelson Aguilar, still only three. He had the one big catch, but he still only had three catches. So you're looking for when that's going to pick up, when he's going to be that player he was last year. Or was last year just one of those flash-in-the-pan things? He has one good year, and that's his outlier, and that's it. You're never going to see that again. But the offense looks to be getting more in track. For those wondering about Clement and Smallwood, Peterson's history tells us that he's going to use everybody. Appears if you made the roster, he's going to play you. He's not going to have a featured back. I think, though, what you're looking for here out of these two is which one's going to be the goal line back. That would separate one from the other for me. And we really didn't see that Thursday. Clement, Smallwood, listen, neither one's great. And most weeks, they'll be your bottom RB2 flex plays. I don't see them getting much higher than that. This is still a throwing team, and I think they'll throw the ball more and more as Wentz proves himself not only being 100% healthy, which I think he probably is, but also 100% rust-free.
You always want your quarterback to be rust-free, that is for sure. We'll move on to the breakdown of Week 6, the Sunday games. As always, we'll take a look at that. The trade deadline, has that passed, or I always forget when the NFL one is? Oh, no, October.
Just
is it really
weeks.
October 30th? Okay, it's October 30th. I saw the McCoy rumors picking up, and I thought it was nearer. So obviously, you have the LeSean McCoy possibly being dealt from Buffalo on the horizon to a team like Philadelphia has been the rumor. You had Sean McDermott there say, I believe the quote was, we're looking forward to Houston. LeSean is an important part of this team. We're looking forward to having him on the field this Sunday. And it's just that he didn't say no. He didn't say no, we're not trading LeSean McCoy. He just tried to jump around. We do have a London game this week. It is always crazy because it's in line with the 1 o'clocks. So you have to remember, from a fantasy perspective, the fields are different. The jet lag, all those things. I know they travel way in advance, but there are other pieces to that Seattle-Oakland game that you may want to consider as you're getting ready for week number 6. We'll make our way around game by game. Also, we have a poll going over on the Twitter, which is at FNTSY Radio, asking who your favorite GPP play at quarterback is this weekend. Of course, if you have another answer, feel free to reply and let us know. But the question right now is Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. Threw Wilson in there as a little bit of a curveball. Maybe get some people who like low ownership QBs. Russ with a decent week last week and potentially figuring some things out behind a bad offensive line, and has a good matchup with the Oakland Raiders this week. But we'll get to more on that in a little bit. Want to dive in here with George as we go game by game, make our way through. We will also talk some DFS and some wagering as we go through, looks at some over-unders and figure out where some money can be put down to have some fun on your NFL Sunday. Let's dive right into it. Let's get to the game that I think a lot of people are targeting from a DFS perspective. Obviously, from a season-long perspective, you're pretty much starting most everybody in this one. Tampa Bay and Atlanta, George. Jameis Winston seems to be in a prime spot to put up some gigantic numbers, as is Matt Ryan on the other side. You have all these offensive weapons. You do have Julio Jones here, whose price tag has dropped in the DFS community, so it seems like a nice time to get in on that. What do you got here? This is just sort of fire everybody, right, and sit back and enjoy the points?
Pretty much. I mean, especially in the pass game. I think, once again, if you're not starting anybody and you have one of these receivers, why? I mean, how deep are you at wide receiver for you not to start anybody? I could see not starting the run game. Peyton Barber, he's done nothing. Now, like, I wonder if this is the week. After the bye, Barber's done nothing. I know Ronald Jones was so disappointing in preseason. They were even talking about, wow, this guy should be an NFL player. But I wonder if this is the week you have to give him a shot. You know, it's time. You know, if you're not getting anything out of Barber anyway, you need to find out what you have in Jones. Can he be an NFL player? Can he be a running back one? Can he be a serviceable running back, a committee guy, whatever? So I wonder if he's going to get more of a chance here. If Ronald Jones is on your waiver wire, you have a dead spot, I'm probably willing to take that shot. Now, I don't have him in any league, Stan, so I don't have to worry about him. But I do wonder if this is that week where Tampa says, you know what, we got to find out. You know, it didn't work out. We had the bye. Time got Jones a couple more weeks of practice. Let's see what's going on. As for everybody else, though, I mean, you're starting. With Jameis Winston, you wonder about the rust effect again. Well, he has some rust going on. He hasn't played because of the suspension, but he did have 2 weeks of practice here. I think he'll be fine, and he was really good in preseason. He was really good in preseason. And people forget, yes, as an NFL quarterback, not so good. Fantasy, he's been fine. He's been actually good in fantasy. I expect that to continue. You know, I think my questions are, will he use DeSean Jackson? He really didn't. He was a big Mike Evans guy. You know, will he use Chris Godwin? You know, Godwin sort of come onto the scene now when he came on with Fitzpatrick, not Winston. And if both tight ends play, which it looks like they will, I expect Howard to be limited somewhat. But Winston was always a break guy, especially in the red zone. And we expect points to be put up on the board here. You know, if Howard wasn't playing, I think Brate was an easy top eight guy this week. Easy. Would have been shocked if he doesn't get in the end zone. Howard does complicate matters somewhat. But then again, if you're down this road with these two, it means you probably got problems at tight end. You probably have one of the guys who were hurt, Engram, Olsen, Walker. You can go on and on with tight ends. It's been a black hole this year. So I'm probably starting Brate this week. And listen, all your Falcons are going. Freeman's out again, so you're starting Coleman. That's great. If you need a running back, you know, you're desperate. Things are still really terrible. Ito Smith is an option here. He's getting carries, and they're not that far behind. Even when Freeman was playing last week, he got about half as many carries as those guys. So Ito Smith could be an option as well, but that's in deeper leagues or if you're in bye week hell or injury hell.
Two bad hells to be in when it comes to fantasy football. Ito Smith seems like he could be a bit of a goal line back or at least get some vulture TDs. And getting some definite action there for Atlanta. I wanted to touch a little bit more on this game on the other side of this break. I think this is a juicy one, so we'll talk a little bit about the over-unders and the spread, talk about Winston a little bit more, and one of my favorite tight ends on the weekend. So all that and more coming back on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz. It's Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Dan Strapper, George Kurtz here, getting ready for week 6 of the NFL. George, I wanted to keep our eye here. This is Blondie? This is Blondie, right? Yeah, okay. Part of class. Cameron Brate this weekend. This is maybe anecdotal, and my memory has not, as you get older, it leaves you, right? I believe Winston and Brate were a pretty good combination in the past when it came to fantasy goodness. He's cheap in DFS. He's somebody that obviously has talent, somebody who, or at least enough talent here to be fantasy serviceable. Is he somebody from your perspective, if you're streaming tight ends, you're just sort of making your way through the waiver wire? I don't know how available he is in seasonal leagues, but is he somebody on your radar this week with the connection with Winston, potentially having a big game against the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, I think he has to be. You know, I said it earlier, tight end this season is a problem. You know, a black hole. There's been so many injuries that I think people were excited earlier in the week because Howard really wasn't expected to play. And you're going to get Cameron Brate against the Falcons secondary, and Winston loves throwing to him. We were all thrilled about it. And now, you know, Howard's back, and he's complicated matters. You know, and now Olsen's also back, or we expect him to be back. You know, so that complicates matters as well. Ebron, Ebron's on the injury report, four different injuries. You know, so maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't play, maybe he's nowhere near 100%. But I think Brady is still top 12 for me, Dan. I do. Only because, all right, Kelsey, Gronk, Graham, Kittle, Reed, Cook. I can put them ahead of him. Rudolph, sure. Ebron, if he plays, yes. Burton, okay. Okay, now everybody else. Can you put Olsen ahead of Brady? You don't know what you're going to get from his first game back. And also needs surgery at the end of the year, which means that foot's still not healed. I don't think he plays the rest of the season. I think he gets hurt again. You know, Njoku? No. Hooper? All right, I can see it. Almost for the same reasons that we want to start break. This is going to be a high-scoring game. But then after that, McDonald, Gates, Ricky Seals-Jones, Uzama, you know, Hurst, Swaim? You're not putting any of those guys above Brady. So he's top 12. He is a starting tight end this week. It's just that I think he'd have been easy top 8. I would have put him ahead of Burton, ahead of Rudolph, certainly ahead of Olsen. If probably ahead of Cook too. If Howard wasn't there. Howard's going to be there. How much is he going to play? Howard is a better all-around tight end. You know, assuming he stays healthy, long career, he's going to be a great tight end. He can catch the ball. He can block. He's a do-everything tight end. Brady is a very good receiving tight end. And Winston likes throwing to him, especially in the red zone. It's that red zone thing that makes me thinking, even with Howard there, I still think Brady gets a touchdown tomorrow. Because I think when things break down for Winston, hasn't played the well, guess who he's looking to throw to?
Yep. And I think the O.J. Howard note is more than a valid one and one worth talking about. How does it eat in? I don't know how much 12 set they've gone to this year where both tight ends are out on the field. I assume it's minimal, being they have those wide receivers and the skill position guys that they want to get out there. But I do love Brady this week, and at the price point in DFS, I think that the upside is there. And you have to talk about Howard on the other side of that as well. Does he get enough run here? It is a sort of all-hands-on-deck game when it comes to season-long, as George pointed out, and also we'll talk DFS later, but it's a game stack that clearly many people will be on. That's one of the reasons both Winston and Ryan are in this poll. And they're leading currently. So you have Jameis Winston and Matt Ryan at 47% and 26%, respectively. Baker Mayfield at 14%, and Russell Wilson at 13%. And obviously, I'm sort of tipping my hand with this poll of where my eyes are. So that makes some sense as we go through. Let's go on to our next game here. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. You got Dalton versus Roethlisberger. It's an AFC North tilt. Oh, well, before we move on, actually, let me get your take here on the over under 57.5. It's opened at 57 from the book I'm looking at. You have Tampa Bay implied at 27.25, Atlanta at 30.25. Atlanta's come up a half point from the open from what I am looking at. 57.5 is a big number. We've seen these two teams give up a ton of points. Is this one where the over intrigues you, or is that number just too big right now?
Well, the over has to intrigue you. It's not even the biggest over of the week, which is crazy. Think about that. 57.5, that's not even the biggest one. Unless you truly believe that the Buccaneers fixed their defense during the bye week, what do you hope for? A 24-21 game here? I don't see that happening. I think it goes over. I don't think even team has much of a secondary here. I do think it's in Atlanta. I think the Falcons know if they're going to save their season, they have to win this game and you have to win next week. You play the Giants next week, so you have to win these games. So I think they know that maybe they'll play better. But the truth is they're banged up on defense. They're destroyed on defense. They're in their defense. They're down four starters now from the start of the season. They just had a lot of injuries. They've had a lot of grief there. So I think they know they have to score points. They're going to have to get into a shootout with people and beat them. 57 is a large number. And you think about that. 31-27, that's what you're looking for, or above. That's 58 right there. That's hard. But the bottom line is, neither team has a defense. We know Tampa Bay doesn't. So I'll go the over here. It's dangerous, you know, when it's that high. I don't enjoy going that high. But I'm going to go the over and Atlanta.
I think that's at -3. Atlanta feels. And to your point, Tampa Bay's defense could figure things out. I just don't see it happening this week. And I think the over and Atlanta paired is where I would end up on this one as well. A fun game, though, and George has pointed out astutely before that taking overs is tends to be a little bit more fun when it comes to the NFL because you can get there in the third quarter and then relax the rest of the game. Trying to sweat out an under bet can be a little bit more nerve-wracking. you're stretched to the end of the game, garbage time. Just ask Blake Bortles about it. I mean, Blake Bortles with his garbage time TDs has changed many a Vegas bet. So let's continue on here. We'll go on to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. As I mentioned before, it's an AFC North battle. So sort of everything you get from a metrics perspective, you do have to put a little star next to that. Strange things happen in these matchups. Tend to be a little bit more defensive. They know each other very well. These coaches have coached against each other for years. So gotta like Dalton here. AJ Green obviously is a go. You have Joe Mixon making his way back to full health. On the other side, Pittsburgh has its cast of characters, the guys you know you run out each and every week. A matchup with Cincinnati may not be the best you could hope for. Cincinnati's defense is a little bit slow, but had a good week last week. What do you got here? Is this a no doubt about it, start everybody that you would typically start on both these teams, or do you have some reservations about one or two plays in this one?
Well, this game's interesting. First off, these two teams, they don't like each other. They don't like each other at all. So there's going to, I think, there's going to be some emotion here. You know, a lot of some 15-yard flags for a little extra hitting, you know, that sort of thing here. So I'm curious to see which team can keep that in check. I think that's the first off thing I think about here. Second thing is, last game for James Conner. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell's back. Or he will be. Or he says he's coming back next week. And I'm surprised, Dan. You know, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, why didn't you come back yesterday? Think about it. You come back Friday. You're going to get paid. That's $855,000 in your pocket. And the Steelers still aren't using you this week. There's no way they could plug you in the lineup when you show up at, 4 o'clock on a Friday and you got to play in 36 hours. That's not going to happen. You know, so I'm surprised he didn't do that. In terms of the agent, didn't think about that. I guess they could worry that Pittsburgh would screw him over and play him Sunday.
But right.
If I was Le'Veon Bell, right, I would have showed up. I don't think the Steelers would have. But I was just curious about that. Anyway, a little trolling theory that I think could have happened there. But all right, last game for James Conner before he's I think goes away. You know, Ben Roethlisberger can say all he wants to say that James deserves some touches. He's going away. They're gonna abuse Bell now for the rest of the year and get what they can out of him before he leaves. You're still starting Conner. You're starting Smith-Schuster. He was the one, by the way, who laid out perfect last year and got suspended for it. So once again, I wonder if that's going to have to be some payback during this game. If I'm Smith-Schuster, certainly want to have my head on a swivel during this game. And Antonio Brown. The tight ends are so hard. McDonald, James, which one? I already went through my tight ends. I don't have any of my as tight end ones. You want to guess? If I had to guess, I'd go McDonald, but that's just a guess. And I said he's not a tight end one for me this week. Ben Roethlisberger on the road. You should be able to do better. You didn't draft him as a quarterback one anyway, probably. And once again, Ben Rhodes is going to worry me about here, so I don't want to start him. You know, you go over to Cincinnati. I think Dalton, once again, is a good streamer. But, you know, Matt Ryan didn't do so well. Maybe this defense has figured something out. Granted, it was in Pittsburgh last week, not on the road, but maybe the secondary has figured something out. You're starting Dalton. I still think you're starting Boyd. If you need a tight end, once again, not a tight end one, but Uzomah is an option here, a streaming tight end you could grab here. Croft is out as well, so he's their only tight end there. Joe Mixon's back. You're starting him. Gio Bernard's out. That's pretty much as far as I'm going as fantasy there. I think this game is going to be I don't want to say a slugfest, but in that sort. I think they're going to hit each other. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game where it's going to be, you know, 50 points, whatever it is. I think the over-under is high for this one at 50.5. I was surprised knowing these two teams. I'm definitely going under.
I like we made a point about Uzomah last week. You did when I brought up Tyler Kroft with a good call as obviously injury now this week makes Uzomah pretty much the only option there. And this is a Pittsburgh team that has struggled on defense in totality, but also is 25th in DVOA against the tight end position. I like Uzomah as random flyer, both for season long and for DFS. So a name to keep in sort of the back pocket as you're doing roster construction or making some last minute pickups if you're able to heading into Sunday to get your tight end spot at least functional, at least giving you some potential upside. As George has pointed out, it's been a tough spot all season long. Let's continue on here. I like this game a lot. Chargers and Browns. This is a Browns team that is 500. They're 2-2-1, and honestly, are a couple plays away from being 4-0-1 or even 5-0. This is a team that's shown some resilience and some fire with Baker Mayfield under center. Defense has started to figure some things out. Still has some definite holes in it, but that front four is pretty damn talented. So this is a Chargers team that we know can put up offensive points. It's one that on the defensive side of the ball hasn't been all that great. So this is a game I'm targeting a bit from a betting and from a DFS perspective. What do you got here? Is this one that maybe people will pass over because of the matchup, but has some goodness to it? Or is this one that you don't want anything to do with?
I think as far as betting, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not. Cleveland's plus one, over under 46. That actually both sounds about right. I don't feel strongly either way. I think the Chargers are a good team, but they have been bereft with injuries this season. They can't, Bosa's still not back. Probably not back until November. He's obviously the key to that defense. You know, that they need him to play. You know, Verrett being out hurts as well. Derwin James been a nice, the rookie safety has played very well, but they need help there. Cleveland, you mentioned it. I mean, we could say this about most teams, but especially with Cleveland. If they just had a kicker, they'd have two more wins. I mean, just a kicker. You know, and they still don't really have one. So they have some issues there. But good for them. At least they're not the brownies where you make fun of them and they're terrible. At least they're on the right track. Fantasy-wise, I mean, you're always studying Melvin Gordon. Philip Rivers is maybe. Once again, he wasn't drafted as a quarterback once. He's never a definite start. Depends on who else you have there. But I'm not afraid of starting him. What I am afraid of starting is anybody in the passing game outside of Keenan Allen. I mean, which Williams? Is it Ty this week? Is it Mike? You know, you just don't know week in and week out. Neither one's lighting it up anyway. Antonio Gates is, like I said, I'm not going to use the word desperate. He's a tier or two above desperate. But unless he gets into the end zone, he's not going to have a good fantasy day. He's just not. You know, you need him to score here. And that's, as we all know, you're not going to score each and every week. So that's an issue there. Cleveland, you want Carlos Hyde. Nick Chubb had the big game 2 weeks ago against Oakland. We said that. That came on three carries. It wasn't like he had 20 carries they're using him. He just had two big carries in that game. Last week, he went back to norm there. Carlos Hyde's obviously the runner you want there. You're not getting anything out of Duke Johnson, by the way. I've moved on from him in a couple of leagues. He's just not throwing him the ball for whatever reason. They just don't do that anymore. The passing game, Landry, he's dropping some more passes than he used to, but he's the only player I trust there. Callaway, though, is someone I'll look at flex play depending on what my other needs are.
Great breakdown, and I think you hit on everybody. The Duke Johnson disappearance is a strange one that we've seen this year where they're just not targeting him as much as we would have expected. Carlos Hyde's been good. He's been solid for Cleveland. He hasn't been overwhelmingly good. And then, of course, there's the random Nick Chubb sighting from time to time for the Cleveland Browns. But the Duke Johnson going missing has been one of those storylines from the Cleveland Browns that I don't know many people are paying attention to as Hyde gets most of those runs. I like Cleveland here a lot. I like them to, one, win this game outright. I think the what is it? You said plus one. This is one I'm keeping. Sorry, minus one, plus one for the Chargers. This is one I'm keeping close tabs on, seeing if there's more movement in that line. It dropped from 46 to 45.5. I don't know that I'm going over under, but I'm on the Browns bandwagon. I believe in this team. I believe in the defense coming around and being better. As I may mention previously, I have a side bet with a friend of mine that the Browns will make the playoffs next year. I don't think they're making it this year, but they're a team that is fun to watch, and I'm gonna put some money where my mouth is on that one and enjoy watching them this weekend against the Chargers. I like the minus one there for the Cleveland Browns and all the pieces. I think Mayfield is going to be a tournament QB for me with some Jarvis Landry pairings to see if we can't get some upside out of that. Let's move on to our next contest. It's Buffalo and Houston. George, set off the fireworks, ring the bell. It's the game of the week here, the Houston Texans and the Buffalo Bills. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, no such thing when you're involving the Buffalo Bills. Listen, Buffalo, it's just LeSean McCoy. That's it. And that's not going to change there. And even he's just a running back, too. A lot of news this week, or noise, I should say, that McCoy, the Philadelphia Eagles, asked about him. And Buffalo said no, but listen, Buffalo's going to say no. You know, they're going to want to jump some interest, see what they can get from him. I don't see why they wouldn't do it if the deal is right. I wouldn't give him away, but hey, if you get a good deal, I'd move if I was Buffalo. You're not going anywhere with him. And he's getting up there in age, and he's got these other problems going on with the legal problems. I would certainly move on if I can get a good price there. As for Houston, they did their best to try and get Deshaun Watson killed last week against the Cowboys. He took 3 or 4 massive shots in that game. You saw in overtime. Every time he went to the sideline, they were literally checking his heart. I mean, my God. Football is a brutal game sometimes, but that was on the play calling. Let's keep having him on the naked bootlegs. Let's see what happens there. it was just ridiculous. But he's fine playing. So you're safe to start him, and I would start him. Will Fuller, I want to start him. I do. But he's banged up as well. Kiki Kuti now is alive here, and we're hearing about him. He could be a flex play in this game. Buffalo does have a good young cornerbacks. They can keep this game in check as far as the passing game is concerned. That's why I don't think Fuller is an automatic start this week because of the injury. Once again, what else do I have on my roster there? And, of course, Lamar Miller is back. He'll play this week. Running back, too, but nothing sexy whatsoever.
Coming back on the other side of this break, we'll read Steve G's tweet. He has a question for you, George, over there on Twitter. So we'll get to that coming up on the other side. And we'll continue game-by-game breakdown of week 6 in the NFL. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz here on Fantasy Sports Today. Hey, Jealousy, coming back on the other side of this break.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Some all-star analysis here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz, getting you ready for week 6 in the NFL. Don't forget, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, or are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. No more dealing with late lineup scratches. No experts to compete against. Just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. George, we move on in week 6, game-by-game analysis here. Anything else from this Buffalo-Houston game? Any pieces? You said LeSean McCoy. Nobody else from Buffalo really is worthwhile, so time to move on.
When it comes to Buffalo, I think it's a week in and week out thing. You know, McCoy, move on. You know, if you want to start him, fine. Not much upside there. We saw what Houston did Sunday night to Dallas, right? They pretty much sold out to stop Elliott because they weren't worried about the passing game. I see the exact same thing happening this week. They'll sell out to stop McCoy. Hey, Josh, you can beat us? Fine. We'll take our chances. But we don't think you can. You know, so we're going to stop the one guy we think can beat us. You know, take the man. It's sort of the Bill Belichick school. Take away the other team's best option, force them to win with something else. It's exactly how I expect this week to play out as well.
All right, you answered Stevie over there on Twitter, but I do want to get your words here on how Hayden Hurst is playing into the tight end mix for you. I could obviously read your tweet live here, but would rather you enumerate your point. Is he somebody that's on your radar? Obviously, an older rookie, somebody who's come into the league, got injured, had a little bit of buzz about him from the tight end position as a rookie. Do you like him as a stash or somebody that is worth streaming in the not-too-distant future?
I don't like having two tight ends on my roster. Not unless they're two very good tight ends. And I think Hurst could be very good in time, but that might be a year from now, 2 years from now. Flacco's history tells us that he will use the tight end. So I think once they get, you want to call it chemistry, once they get in line with each other, I think he will be usable, yes. But for Steve's question, he has Hooper. Well, he isn't Hooper this week. We like him this week against Tampa. Next week they play with Giants. Pretty much you like any tight end against the Giants. right? So that's at least the next 2 weeks of using Hooper. So and by then he's got. I believe he said he has Doyle. So then Doyle should be back by then. So using him. So I don't see the reason to pick up Hurst here. The only reason why he could do it is that the player he's going to drop is Chase Edmonds, who's giving you nothing anyway, and he's banged up as well. So if it's going to make you feel better to grab Hurst, go ahead. But either way, I don't know if you'll ever use Hurst. What it does is it just gives you a backup tight end now, which you already sort of have in Doyle, rather than a backup running back in Edmonds. Yeah, so I don't see the problem here. If you want to do it, fine. If it makes you sleep better. I probably wouldn't. I think I'd rather have the running back in the end, especially because you have Doyle. If you didn't have Doyle, it might feel differently here, but you have Doyle. I think he comes back next week, and it doesn't matter next week. You're fine with Hooper against the Giants. So, you know, he'll certainly be back in 2 weeks. So, for me, I probably wouldn't do this, but that being said, Edmonds is pretty much a dead spot on your roster anyway, unless you have him as a handcuff. Once again, so you can sleep better at night because you have David Johnson. Then I'm okay with that as well.
All right, let's continue on. And a game that I haven't looked at a ton, I have well, that's not true. I like the running backs in this matchup for the Chicago Bears. Chicago and Miami. Chicago sits at 3-1 overall. Miami at 3-2. They are tied for first place in the AFC East with the New England Patriots. The Bills and Jets just one game back at 2-3. So you assume New England runs away with this division eventually, but for now, it's a tightly contested one. This game, for me, pops off for Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, but I like Cohen's price point, talking DFS specifically, and the Chicago defense. I know people have liked Tannehill and Stills. I know people have thought that they were better offensively than maybe they are. You have Tannehill questionable with a shoulder injury. I like the Bears defense a lot here. What do you got? Is this a game on your radar? I saw the over-under dropped from 44 to 42 heading into yesterday. What's this game make for you?
I like the Bears defense a lot as well. Coming off a bye week against Miami, who have almost no running game. You know, other than Stills, not really much of a threat in the passing game, and Tannehill is blah. You know, last week, Tannehill was hilarious last week. Let's bang some passes off off my own helmet for interceptions. I mean, Tannehill's terrible. I don't see much going to happen here offensively from Miami. I don't. There's nobody I want to start here. Absolutely nobody. I think Chicago's going to. I don't think they're going to roll it up here because I think Miami's defense is good enough to keep Chicago in check. Trubisky's certainly not going to throw 6 touchdown passes this week. But that being said, I like Howard. I like Cohen as well. Don't love them. I think they're, Howard's a running back 2 this week. Cohen more in the flex range of running back 3. Allen Robinson. Miami's cornerbacks have been okay. You know, they've been pretty solid here. So I don't think, like I said, I don't think this game's a runaway here. But I think Chicago does win the game. You're starting Allen Robinson. Starting Trey Burton. He is a tight end 1 this week. Low-end tight end 1, but a tight end 1 nonetheless. History tells us that Miami generally has trouble covering tight ends. But I wonder if this was fixed during the bye week. You know, Chicago really hasn't used Burton a whole lot. Or really, he hasn't been the play we thought he might be here. So I wonder if they're going to keep working on that here. I wish the over-under wasn't lowered, Dan, because I did like the under a lot more when it was a couple of points higher. Yep. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game.
Yeah, I think if you got it at 44, it feels comfortable still, though may not feel overly comfortable. But 44, the 42 and trending downward. So if you're already looking at this one, it could drop another half point if Tannehill's fully ruled out. I don't know if Tannehill's worth a full 2 points for Chicago for Miami here, but it would seem as though that could be the case, and you could see the drop. Even further for this game, down to a 41.5 or even a 41 before kickoff tomorrow, just simply because this is not going to be an offensive game. I will reiterate again later when we talk DFS, but I'm on Tariq Cohen a lot this week, and I don't love running back by committees, and it hasn't necessarily been that here in Chicago with Jordan Howard, but you're starting to see Cohen get more carries, more targets, and this is a team that I think will continue to lean on Cohen in that regard, so I like that matchup a lot here with Miami and potential savings there on DraftKings and FanDuel with some pretty big upside in my estimation. So I like, we'll reiterate that later, but wanted to make sure to call out specifically Tariq Cohen in this matchup. Let's move on to Arizona and Minnesota. The Josh Rosen experience has been fine. He's acquitted himself pretty well for how much pressure he's been under. I think he's throwing under pressure on 47% of his passes, which is an insane number when you really break it down against the rest of the league. Then you have the Minnesota Vikings on the other side, who are trying to figure things out on the defensive side of the ball, figuring out what their identity is, obviously with some injuries and some other concerns on the front line. Love David Johnson again this week. Think that Minnesota pieces are always fine when you get Diggs and Thielen involved. This could be a fun one. Could have some points scored here. How do you see this one breaking down?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be all that much fun for Arizona. I think Minnesota at home, I think Minnesota's going to pretty much... I think this one's almost in the bag here. I do. I think what Minnesota wants to work on here is getting Dalvin Cook back in the offense, back into being a big part of the offense, where he's a threat again, where teams have to worry about him, something we haven't really seen now since before the ACL injury last year. So I think that's what they're looking for here. Get Dalvin Cook involved. Curious to see what Patrick Peterson does. Does he travel now try and take Diggs out? I think Thielen will be okay. Thielen plays out of the slot as well, so that could help him out staying away from Patrick Peterson because Peterson's having a great season. So if he's on Diggs the whole game, man, if I knew about that going in, Diggs wouldn't necessarily be a start for me in this game. If I knew Peterson was just going to live on him, or if they said, hey, Peterson's going to follow Thielen all over the place, same thing. But I don't know if he's going to travel in or just stay on his side. So I'm curious about that. I said, I do think they will try and integrate Cook into this offense more here. That's what I expect during the game. For Arizona, I mean, outside of David Johnson, that's it. There's no one else I'm starting here. Larry Fitzgerald. The more and more I see him, the more and more I'm like, oh, you should have retired, man. When you were talking about retirement, you know, we're just built by ourselves. You're thinking about retirement. You are retired. He should have retired. I don't think it's all him, mind you. Body's betraying him a little bit. Has these injuries. There's just nothing there. I like Josh Rosen long term, but he's not the court. You know, he's not Baker Mayfield right now. He has things to learn there, and there's just no other options there. So teams are only just taking him out, and the passing game's done. There's not really much to go here. I think this is a wipeout game. I think something like 31-7 wouldn't shock, 31-10. I think all the points here are going to be scored by Minnesota.
I hear you, and I don't think the assessment's wrong. I do like David Johnson. I think Arizona hangs around a little longer in this one. I do think it ends up being a big Vikings win, but this feels like the sort of game that, one, Minnesota may not have circled on the calendar, and two, I think this is a David Johnson game where Johnson has the matchup you need where he can carry this team for a quarter or two and keep them in it. So I like Johnson a lot when it comes to DFS. I think this is a big game for him. Beyond that, I agree with you that this is just sort of a game of attrition for Minnesota where over the course of the game, their offense is just too good. Their defense is good enough against a bad Arizona offense that it does end up being, I would say, more 31-17 sort of game where we get some points out of David Johnson. Josh Rosen is okay getting the ball to Johnson. Very similar to the Saquon Barkley game on Thursday night. I think it's a lot of offensive line of scrimmage passes to David Johnson. There are swing passes. There's every pass you can possibly get him in space to get the ball in his hands this week. I think we finally see that here against Minnesota. But long-term, I do think Minnesota runs away with it when all is said and done. I would go 31-17 as a final there with points coming from David Johnson and David Johnson alone. Obviously, they could target him and keep him out of the offense as best they can, but I just see this as his week finally. Up next, we have the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets, Sam Darnold and the air raid attack with Robbie Anderson. Obviously, don't expect that again this week, but the Colts secondary is, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, not very good. It's injured. It is a struggle each and every week to see
It sucks.
I was trying to get there, but it's bad. It's a terrible secondary and one where the Jets and Darnold could have some upside here. And Darnold, somebody I was going to mention in the QB poll as a potential tournament play. Now, obviously, with a rookie, there can be questions week over week, and I'm not saying he's a lock to have a big week, but this is another good matchup and one where Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa should be at least part of your strategy. Anderson for the home run upside and Enunwa just from a simple volume play. The target should be there again this week. They didn't have to be there last week with Crowell and Anderson doing their work. I like the Jets side of the ball. Andrew Luck has shown that his arm seems to be doing well enough. The Jets defense is okay. It's not lighting the world on fire, but has some plus pieces to it. I like this one. I like this game, obviously, a little bit more than I should as a Jets fan. But how does it break down for you? Is this one where you see Andrew Luck having a big game? Is it one where Darnold could have a big one? How does it all wash out for you?
Why not both? Really, why not both? All right, let's start from the other road team here. Andrew Luck. He still aims the ball. I don't know. He had a great week last week. I think that's more on how bad the Patriots' defense is than anything else. Plus, they were behind, so they had to throw all game. And there's no running game there, so they sort of have no choice there. You want to start Luck this week. Honestly, you pretty much want to start Luck every week. That being said, no T.Y. Hilton, done. Jack Doyle, done. You know, so you're not getting either one this week. That doesn't mean that Chester Rogers, Ryan Grant, they're in play. You know, and Chester Rogers is out there in a lot of leagues. You need somebody, hey, go out and get him. He drops a lot of passes, but the target is still going to be there because they have nobody else. Eric Ebron, who's a definite star if he plays, but this man's all over the injury report, multiple injuries. I think he's going to play, mind you, but just keep that in mind. But then again, let's say you didn't want to start Ebron. Who's your second tight end that you can afford to not start this man if he's playing? I mean, I'm not going to take one of the Pittsburgh guys. Not going to go down that low. If it's Brait, okay, we can chat. Well, maybe I would take someone like Brait. But after that, I'm still starting Ebron there. There just aren't too many options there. There's just not. Hines, I know Mac is coming back. I think he's intriguing. You know, if you're stuck at a flex and you don't have anybody else, or maybe your running back's a weak, I can see him being a running back play here. But I like to see how they're going to use him first before I throw him in there. I do think Mac's a decent player, but Hines is the guy I want there if I had a choice between the two. As for the Jets, you know, we need to call on the brakes a little bit down on Robbie Anderson. Yes, he had 123 yards passing last week. Came on three catches. Okay, he just had two big plays. He only had five targets. He's only had 21 targets this year. I mean, just do the math there. It's four targets a game. You know, and 11 of those have come the past 2 weeks, but he's pretty much averaging about four or five a game. If you take out week one where he only had one target, he's averaging five a game. So it's not like Darnold's looking for him over and over again. Enunwa has been his main guy, but didn't happen last week. Maybe defense is starting to take him away now and force him to go to Robbie Anderson's way. We'll see here. But once again, Darnold, it sounded good, but he only had 198 yards passing last week. Didn't light up through the air. It was on the ground they lit it up. And even that's a problem. It looks like Isaiah Crowell, that doesn't look like he will be a game-time decision. So we're going to see what's going to happen at 11:30 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, see if he's inactive or not. You know, if he's inactive, by the way, Powell becomes a strong running back too. If not, Powell's more of a flex play here and you're starting Crowell. So there are a lot of moving parts in this game because of injuries. Ebron, you're going to watch. Crowell, you're going to watch. Like I said, Robbie Anderson, he's certainly in play for me here because of the secondary. And it is bad, sucks, you know, bites it, whatever. It's bad. So I think I wonder if the game plan for the Jets is to throw the ball. It should be. You know, that's where you can beat Indianapolis. But that being said, it's not like you want to have success on the ground also. So I think I'm curious to see who plays here for the Jets. If Crowell plays, if Powell plays. Bottom line is this. I think points are going to be scored.
Yep, I'm right there with you, and I think the over is in play in this one. If you want to go that way, I tend to stay away from recommending anything with the Jets, but I do think there's some upside there. Listen, last week, I think you make the right points about Anderson. I think also you can connect dots that Enunwa was simply game scripted out, whatever phrase you want to use, that they just didn't need him on this game, and I think the net of Crowell's big day on the ground and Robbie Anderson in the air negated any real need for Enunwa pretty early on in that game. So I see it as a nice bounce back spot for him to get heavy targets here and have some major upside. He is, you know, to use a bad phrase, a possession receiver. He's not the home run threat. That's what Robbie Anderson does. So if you want the safer floor, I think it's definitely Enunwa. You have some upside here with Robbie Anderson. And the other side, I think points are going to be scored. So if you're on Andrew Luck, obviously season long, you're starting him from a DFS perspective. I don't know if I'm going there, but there's merit to it. There's merit to this game being a little bit more open than you might expect from Vegas's line and even what these two teams have done in the past. And I like Sam Darnold. I'm not going to go crazy here ownership-wise. Maybe one or two lineups out of 10 that have him with Enunwa paired and then go elsewhere for the rest of my lineup. But I think at least in early roster construction, he'll be around for what I'm trying to do. We'll take a look at this poll as we close out the hour. 49% of the votes go to Jameis Winston. Matt Ryan is second at 24%. Russell Wilson at 12%. Baker Mayfield at 15% for who your GPP quarterback is on Sunday. We have a new poll coming out about some over-under bets coming up after the top of the hour. We'll talk more about these games. And be sure to take your phone calls in the second segment. We'll give out the phone number. On the other side of this, you're listening to Dan Straver, George Kurtz on Fantasy Sports Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.